It's a younger.
Adequate notice of this meeting, which is June 11th, 2018, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker? Note that he's absent. Ms. Parrott?
Present.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. All right, good evening, everyone. Okay, for our little town, we have a lot going on, as usual. You're probably all aware there was a power outage about a week and a half ago or so, and power was out, I guess how long, about
2 hours?
All night. Some people were out all night. Yeah, it depends which part of town you lived in.
It depends.
The rest was about 45 minutes. Yeah.
But the state police came. They were a great help to us. They parked at the beyond the gas station to make sure that no one could get through. The accident, the power outage was caused by a very drunk driver who drove into a tree.
Well, no, it's a telephone pole.
Yeah, I did not mean to say a tree. Right. Into a transformer. So it was especially dangerous, and it was kind of a miracle that they walked away from the accident, not only because the crash was so severe, but also because there were live wires and they stepped out of their car. So just a little lesson, please don't drive drunk. And it wasn't really until the next day that, or I think very early in the morning, that most power was restored. I also wanted to mention there was an election last Tuesday. And as usual, the Roosevelt voters continued their record of a high turnout. The county average was about, I think, 10.1%, and Roosevelt had almost a 30% turnout. So maybe not as high as we would have liked, but three times the turnout of the county. And we also have, there have been some water sewer bill issues, and we will be discussing that. We've had some problems with the bills, so we will, that may come up later or may not. We've met and we're working on the water sewer bill issues. So we come to public comment from the agenda items only, and you will have one turn at the mic. So whatever you want to say, please make sure to state it at when it's your turn. Would anyone like to come to the mic?
Well, we're going to open it up at 7:04.
Right. Anyone have anything they'd like to say? Well, we're going to close it at 7:04. Approval of minutes. These are the minutes from May 29th, 2018, regular council minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Abstain.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. We'll come to correspondence. We have a letter from the State of New Jersey DEP dated May 23rd, 2018, regarding settlement agreement for violations of the Safe Water Drinking Act. Have any discussion?
Make a comment?
Sure.
This letter from the DEP were the fines connected with the September 12, 2017 inspection of the water plant There were almost 100 violations. Most of them had to do with paperwork. All of them were remedied through our actions this past 6 months or so. At that point, the initial fine was $5,000. Larry Sire from the DEP reduced it to $2,500, and then he took it to his superior, and they brought it down a little more to $1,665, I believe. So that was all of the fines associated with the water plant. The next letter was, which Peggy hasn't brought up yet, but it was about the problems at the sewer plant, and they are being dealt with by the new sewer plant operator at this point. So there are no fines right now.
Good.
Okay. Exactly.
Well, I'll read that after the fact. The second piece of correspondence was a letter from the United States EPA. That's the federal.
Yep.
The DEP is the state branch, and the and the EPA is federal. Dated May 31st, 2018, regarding compliance evaluation inspection conducted on May 7th, 2018. So that's what Joe just
and that was a
to.
Surprise inspection. They just showed up one day. So, yeah. Okay. And I believe that letter is posted on the website.
It's in the agenda package, yes.
It's in the agenda package.
I'll send it up under notices, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Ordinances. We first have Ordinance 18-02, second reading. An ordinance setting the salary range and compensation of certain officials, positions, and employees in the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey. And the changes are in the bold font. This ordinance amends the salary ordinance for 2018 summer recreation.
First and second.
So do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
Now we have public comment on this. So I'm going to open the public comment at 7:09. Would anyone like to comment on the salary ordinance for summer recreation? There being none, close public comment at 7:09.
Mr. Bowen?
For changing the salary ordinance for the summer recreation program.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 1802 passes. Into Ordinance 18-03, second reading. Calendar year 2018 ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank, NJSA 40A:4-45.14. This ordinance authorizes an increase to 3.5% over the previous year's final appropriations.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Open public comment at 7:10. Close public comment at 7:10.
Okay, ready for roll call? Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Abstain.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Come to resolutions. Resolution 18-81, payment of bills for June 11th, 2018. Do I have a motion?
Motion to pay the bills.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 18-82, setting fees for a recreational summer camp. Have a motion? Does anyone like to move 18-82?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 18-82 passes. Resolution 18-83, setting reimbursement guidelines for recreation activity July 4th celebration. Have a motion?
I'll move that.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'd like to say something. John Vaux, First Aid Squad, wants to make sure that we get in touch with them about being there for the 4th of July picnic and for them to be in touch with the Millstone Fire Department.
It's already done.
I'm sorry? That was yesterday? I didn't know.
Well, actually, I think it was...
Oh, that's through the recreation?
Yeah, through Eric Schubiger, the recreation director.
Okay, then I'll tell John to talk to Eric about it. So,
but I know Eric's been in talks with Millstone already, the fire department.
Okay, good. Last year we had to remind him. So
I know, and we may have to again this year, but I know he's because we were trying to map out the parade route also.
Then he should be in touch with it, John Vaux also.
Yeah, I think he knows that.
Okay.
But I'll make sure.
Okay, thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
No.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1884 passes. No, that was 1883, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Resolution 18-84, appointment of municipal court employees. I have a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Is this the same judge that there was last year?
No, I think that new people were hired, and that's why we have to approve them or reapprove.
Okay. So the court administrator of Millstone and the violations clerk retired. One retired as of 6-1, one will be retiring as of 7-1.
Okay.
So we appoint them every year.
Okay.
So the judge, nothing else has changed, it's just these are the two new people.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1884 passes. Come to reports of committee chairs. We'll start with administration. Councilmember Parrott?
I attended a seminar that was all day long on June 2nd by the Rutgers Center for Government Services, that it was specifically oriented towards the local powers and duties of the local elected official. And that was extremely enlightening to me. And I'd just like to quickly, since this, we're going to get through this meeting pretty quickly, some of the points that were raised, I'd like to just spout them out, because it was organized by this gentleman, Reagan Buckhalter, I believe, or Buckwalter. Anyway, he's been doing it for 40 years. He's very, very knowledgeable. And he also went through different red flags. He would cover a topic, and then he would cover red flags that raised issues. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'm just going to go through some of the points that I thought that I didn't know and that I thought maybe might be enlightening to other people. Which is, first he talked about organization, policy, and management, and explained the difference between the functions, legislative, executive, and administrative functions. And then the red flags in that, I thought some of them did apply. Were frequent power disputes among the governing body members, decisions taking a long time, and management where no one knows who's responsible for a particular matter. On the policy making, he stressed that you always are to put policies in writing, whether it would be an ordinance or required on certain things, but otherwise to carry it out in a by way of a resolution. Let's see. Oh, that he recommended, and this was, I guess I would say, best practices, really, was what this gentleman was describing, and certain legal requirements. But he did recommend that there be an organizational chart showing lines of authority within municipal government chain and the chain of command. Let's see, he talked about ethics, conflict of interest, that when a council person or governing or a mayor has a conflict of interest, you don't just sit in the audience or turn your chair around, you actually leave. Which I'd seen in the past here, people just turn around. So that was. Then he went into budgets and raised the issue of the need for a capital plan to avoid crisis level decision making regarding infrastructure. A capital plan as to when. All the capital things we own would be replaced. Talked about the budget, the expenditure cap, levy cap, which we just approved something here. And he said there's various approaches to budgeting, which would be either it's a top down or it would be from the people that are actually doing the work to request up, or a combination of the two, was what he recommended. And then he recommended, he stressed this at great length, to start early, to start in September of the prior year, because our budget year begins in January. And then he suggested that in November there would be workshops open to the public, would include the financial people as well as the council people, and that the finance committee would actually would meet to make decisions in December, so the budget would be introduced earlier than is required by law. And the rationale for that is because, as has happened here frequently, as I've observed, the budget is really only in effect for a few months. The budget was passed by the council is only in effect for a few months because in November, I believe in the last couple months of the year, things can be moved. And if you don't pass it until June or July, then you're really not controlling. And the budget is a policy-making document, actually, where are we putting money? And he said, once the policy decisions are made in the November in a public setting, then preparation of the budget itself is simple, because you just are going to put the money where the policy dictated it. Again, you talked about capital planning, that at least to have a 6-year plan for capital expenditures. Financial controls. There are certain legal requirements, but then he also talked about certain red flags in terms of financial issues, which is that financial officials who don't like to answer questions or provide information, and the absence of and that there's a test that he gave us a document called an internal controls quotient that is something we recommended reviewing to make sure that there, in fact, are internal controls, that it's the role of the governing body to adopt the clear policies, and then also to ensure that the staff is carrying out those policies. And one way, he said that at the minimum we should have monthly financial reports that would include all the flow of finances, including tax collection and expenditures. He said, he talked about the auditor, and he said that you want to have a critical auditor because getting one of the red flags is getting a clean audit for many years. Because the auditor really is one of these internal controls. And he said no municipality operates perfectly or is subject to not being able to improve. This is something that I had no idea, and he didn't give a statute for it, but when he talked about the limits on expenditures before we have to get bids, he explained the difference between bids, which is the formal process, sealed bidding by state law, and then he also talked about the requirement on quotes. Now, I don't know what, he didn't give us a statute, he wasn't an attorney, but he said that when that there's a without a qualified purchasing agent, which we don't have, the bid, I think DCA might have increased these, but it was $17,500 for bids, but for quotes it's $2,625, and he said that means you get three quotes. It can be by telephone or in writing, which I was not aware of that at all. And he said that when maybe it's two, but I didn't know we got any, to be quite honest with you. $2,625. And that number,
we do get quotes,
is for all similar items throughout the entire year. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to reach us $2,625. However, certain things are excluded, and here I understand we have several cooperative purchasing arrangements that I believe they're excluded, as are using state contracts to be excluded. But I don't know. I guess I'm wrong, but we've had different arguments on this council about whether we need the quotes on matters. And I mean, I was saying we should get them. But anyway, in any event, I wasn't aware of that. And payroll, I don't know whether we do this or not. He said we should have time and attendance systems in place. We should have a system for managing leave, and we should use direct deposits. I don't know. Do we use direct deposit? Not checks.
I know. I'm direct deposit.
Oh, yeah, we are. Okay. I didn't know that, but
I don't know if it's mandatory, but I would assume.
No, it's not mandatory. Just this is best. He was recommending. I didn't know if we did. I just had no idea.
I would assume most people are direct deposit.
And then he went through the different positions in the municipal government that are governed both by this council, by the council, as well as by the state of New Jersey. He called that positions that have two bosses, and people probably know this, but I don't know if everybody in the public, these are the statutorily defined or required positions: the clerks, chief financial officer, tax collector, tax assessor, engineer, health officer, code officials, court administrators. As to ethical considerations,
do you have a report on this?
This is
available?
My report.
Okay.
I could put this online, though, the whole thing. The tone is set at the top when it comes to ethics. Talked about the Open Public Meetings Act, the Open Public Records Act. And there were a couple things people questioned, but other council people questioned, what he calls serial communications are prohibited, according to this presenter by the Rutgers School of Government Services. Serial communications between council members are prohibited. In other words, you send an email to two council people, where you talk to two council people, and then you go and talk to the third or fourth one. Once you talk, those are prohibited by the Open Public Meetings Act, even if it's not one email. If you do it by email and then you call somebody, all that is prohibited because all of the deliberations are to occur at the meeting. As the Open Public Records Act, and I'm sure Kathleen knows this, but I didn't know this, that anonymous requests are permitted, that you don't have to sign your name on it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Finance?
Finance did not meet. We were busy with the budget before that and had loads of meetings, so we won't be meeting again until, I guess, after the budget's passed.
Okay. Councilmember Parker is absent tonight. He's environmental.
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to meet the last couple of weeks, but plan on doing that soon.
We skipped the meeting.
Yeah, I know. Well, Councilmember Parker is actually community development, right? And you're environmental, so you just gave your... Right. No, that was my mistake.
Okay.
I didn't hear what she said.
She didn't really. She was just...
I was there a report. I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. And... Councilmember Bowen, who should have gone first, and I completely skipped over.
Public Works. We met with the new water and sewer contractors, basically to just open up communication and determine what responsibilities that they're looking for from us going forward. And we're supposed to be meeting again soon. I'm not exactly sure when. To continue with that process. Today, I actually met with Tom Sweeney from DEP, New Jersey DEP, and Carmela Roberts, the borough engineer. They basically discussed changes to the Roosevelt stormwater permit. It was just mostly an education for me. Basically, they have public education requirements. This whole stormwater thing is mostly about education. There's no testing going on, so towns are required to educate the public, and they get certain points by doing various things. And so they increase the points for the year from 10 to 12. And Carmela had informed us that we'd actually done that, had completed. These changes need to be properly advertised on the websites. One thing important was the borough vehicles need to be washed at a car wash, or one vehicle.
Is that a DEP directive, or just...
Yeah. What?
Is that a DEP directive?
Yeah, it's not
really?
Supposed to go...
No dirty trucks?
No dirty trucks into the sewer system. Or into the
well, it's the soap in the water. And we drain directly into the Assunpink here, so especially that. Yeah.
Good.
We purchased a bunch of safety signs, inhalation hazard, chlorine gas, those type of signs. Amphitheater was pressure washed in preparation for the Girl Scout event, which was yesterday, and for the Roosevelt School graduation. Public Works garage is now secured with new keypad locks. And the Borough Hall generator malfunctioned and it was serviced. Now, they were talking about doing the other ones as well. Do you know if the other ones?
We have a service contract for all of them to be serviced. And the starter motor on the one for Borough Hall stopped working. And the heater for the block heater malfunctioned also, but it was the starter that was really not working. So that was replaced 2 days later. So it was good. We lucked out on that one.
Yeah. That's all.
Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Trammell, Utilities.
We met with there was
Lyons.
A few people at the meeting. There was Lyons. There was the new water guy, the new sewer guy. There was the Hightstown shared service guy, Ken. There was two or three folks from Public Works here, including Steve and myself, and the tax collector, Sam. And we it was really about establishing communications between everyone, so everyone had eye contact and handshakes, and we generated a list of names, positions, phone numbers, and emails so that we could all correspond with each other, and we plan on doing that again soon. So that we can coordinate ourselves as time goes by. So I really have no report. I'm just following through on what Steve did. And we did not meet as a utilities committee this past couple of weeks. I've had some personal things going on. But we will meet soon. Next week, the water collector, John Holden, and Toby will tour the town and read the meters, a certain select amount of meters together, because there have been meter issues, and we want to resolve this. And this way, as John takes over, then he will be familiar with what meters read, what meters don't read. And a lot of meters that read zero are because people don't live there. So there have been these questions about the meters. So in the next couple of weeks, that should be dealt with. Okay.
Mike, did you have anything you wanted to?
It's not that you have to wash trucks, that you have to wash your trucks, but if you wash your trucks.
Don't wash them here with the soap, right.
Controlled.
Yeah.
Do we wash the trucks?
Don't let the suds go down the storm drain, is what it comes down to. Yeah.
But do we? I'm not sure the trucks were ever even washed here.
Public Works. I don't know.
Yeah, we have two public vehicles. We have the one that's
we have the orange one
and the
white.
Yeah. And I'm not sure we're using that now, are we?
Holden has his own truck, and I think Lyons has got a fleet of people and their own vehicles and stuff. So,
Greg, the Public Works uses the other truck, right?
Right.
Orange,
the pickup.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we come to old business. Is there anything anyone would like? Well, that was Mike.
Oh.
As
we have a report.
Well, that was his environmental statement. Any old business that anyone would like to bring up, discuss? Come to new business. Use of the Borough Hall for a wrap board meeting Sunday, October 14th, 2018, from 9:30 in the morning till 12:30 p.m. Can we just do it all in favor? Or?
Make a motion, second,
all
and
right.
Then all in favor.
I move that we allow the wrap people to do that.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
I'll abstain. I'm on the rep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we come to public comment on any item. And again, I'd like to remind people you can bring up anything you'd like, but it's one pass at the mic. Nancy?
Public comment open at.
Oh, right.
35.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nancy Warnick for Homestead Lane. I want to request that Public Works employee have a schedule in a weekly, bi-weekly to check the storm drains, because a lot of people don't clear them. And most of the coverage looks like it's clean. And if we kept a barrel of some sort in the truck, that maybe that could be put in the compost bins at the school, as long as it's not toxic. Now, in particular, I mean Selfridge is Homestead Lane. The first three are usually cleared by the homeowners, but the other three, all of that water runs through the same drainage pipe, stormwater pipe, and runs in back of the Borough Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there is either a collapse of the storm drain or something interfering with the flow that goes into the stream.
Yep.
So I'm afraid it's backing up at the corner over there.
Which corner?
In back of the first aid.
Okay.
One out on Tarp property.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of mosquitoes back there now. But it does come onto our property as well as our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite soggy. But at the same time, there also was a sewage lift station there that was, I think a few years ago, was rebuilt or repaired. '90s. The other bathroom here was refurbished, but it functions anymore. But if that is submerged under that stormwater wastewater, I'm afraid we'll have a big problem. So if somebody could look into that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
We have a borough engineer's report on all of that, and you're correct. There is a problem.
Yeah, because we see it comes on
with the feed, and it's resulted in a sinkhole right behind Borough Hall.
Yeah.
We're aware of it, and the lift station probably needs to be replaced. It's old. But we're talking a lot of money for all of that, so we have to.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking at it from a health and safety issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the storm drain, I know it goes under this building, I believe.
What happens, I believe, is it comes from Homestead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It does an angle around your property or near your property.
Between 2 and 4.
Right. And it comes out right in back here where the sinkhole is. And according to a few, George and a few other folks, they tried to repair it some years ago.
When they did Homestead Lane.
Yeah. And then it's probably collapsed because Ken and Carmella looked at it with a camera and they couldn't see, like, beyond.
Yeah, that's what the report says.
Yeah.
And it needs to be replaced. It runs actually under Borough
Hall. Under Borough
Hall. And out to the street.
Yeah. Right.
But there is a huge manhole, water sewer manhole out there. It's stormwater.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Carmella was suggesting, of course, if that could be reverted along parallel to that south end of the building out to Rossville.
She has actually drawn that up, and the way she would do it is it's clear to about the backyard here. And then if we do anything with the barn back here, the building, then that water and this water can be put together and go under the parking lot near the sidewalk to the proper. Well, we get the wash and the ice from the back here all the time, and it's an unsafe condition there too.
And
so
I don't know about the end that goes into the stream, if that is clogged at all.
And I think that one's okay. There's two storm grates out in the front. Mm-hmm. The one closer to the creek receives water and it goes. And the one in front of the driveways here never has water in it, so that's a problem.
We're also going to be jet-vacking all of the storm drains, too, really soon.
Yeah.
That may help alleviate some of the problem if it's blocked in there.
We're going to sweep, they're going to
sweep,
and then they're going to jet. Right.
A code red will go out to let everyone know so they can remove their cars from the street.
But this should be handled right away because you're not going to have water build up and mosquitoes and all kinds of problems.
Yeah,
so
she said there's already mosquitoes.
Yeah, we'll make sure that.
And that's
that's
the county guys that are going to do the cleaning of the jetty.
Yeah.
That's already been approved. It's just a matter of scheduling it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Bob?
Yes, first, under old business, I have a question.
You just state your name for the record,
Robert
just for the tape.
I have a question of the council to legislate a solution to the trailer issue by changing the definitions of some of the words in the current borough code, and I'm wondering what's happened with that request.
Can I just say that we were advised on that by legal counsel that it's not our job to change an ordinance to try to suit a particular homeowner's issues with trailers. And I don't know if you want to speak to that, but.
So there is a.
He would like us to change the ordinance to allow, so that he would be permitted to have trailers on his property, storage trailers.
To allow, you want to allow trailers? Are they of a business nature? Are they of personal nature?
Personal nature. And they're used to store extra stuff that I own that I can't put in my house because it's that one grade because it goes in the house. And the problem is that there was a former zoning officer who invented a usage of word saying that trailers were sheds and therefore they could not be in the side yard of the property. And he threatened to give me a citation for the trailers as sheds. So I moved the trailers before they became a citation. He then went on to give me a punitive citation for something else that was completely false. It took me 6 visits to the court in about a year's time to cure that. It's finally cleared. But now the new
No, excuse me, Bob, he's not acting. He is our zoning officer. He's just the assistant. No, he's the assistant zoning officer. He's not acting. He's been our assistant zoning and housing and code enforcement officer for quite some time, quite a few years.
Weren't you, as an aside then, weren't you advertising for the position of
Yes, we've been actively looking for, he is our assistant zoning officer, zoning, housing, code enforcement, but he's been acting in the capacity as the main one, but he is has been the assistant for many years. We have been trying to, actively trying to recruit someone.
Is that something that the admin committee is working on, or the mayor's working on?
The mayor's working on it, along with our...
Borough council.
No, with Greg Cannon, right. Since he does know a lot of people in, Monmouth County, trying to...
So you're looking to change an ordinance. Well, that would have to come from the council in order for there to be a legislative change to an ordinance.
I think that there needs to be a definition of what is a vehicle and what is a trailer, because utility trailers and recreational vehicles are lumped by the previous and the present zoning law as the same thing. I would like to go back to the idea of actively, as the aside, if we are campaigning, or we are not campaigning, but we are advertising for a zoning officer, is that something that the admin committee should be doing, or when's the last time an advertisement was placed in the public record, or in any public record?
I couldn't say for sure. I know that I've contacted many people in various neighboring communities. We've gotten a few turndowns, so we're just continuing to look for someone.
Isn't that something that you can do publicly and in the papers or request for a proposal?
No, the zoning officer we have now is the assistant. So he doesn't want to be our main head. So we've been trying. We no longer have the man who is the head.
Head up.
Right. So.
But since we've been working on that for a long time, nothing's come out of it yet.
Well, nothing's come out just because we haven't been able to find someone, but have been working on it. And as a matter of fact, Greg Cannon knows someone that he thinks would be ideal for Roosevelt, so he's in.
Wouldn't that be something that you'd advertise in the, I think, a journal of the communities of New Jersey, the public.
League of Municipalities website.
Wouldn't that be something you'd publish on that website?
We could do that. We were trying to find someone more local first. But that does not negate the fact that our current zoning officer has determined that you can't have the trailers. But it also is not a council. His recommendation to you was to go before the planning board again or to bring the trailers back to your property. He'll give you a citation, and then you can go to court, and the judge will make the final decision.
Well, if I could speak on this, I wasn't aware of any legal opinion that was provided. It wasn't provided in writing, at the very least. But, and if it's going to be relied on, I would ask for it to be in writing. And my own understanding, although I could be mistaken, is that that it is a council function to legislate, and if an ordinance is unclear or ambiguous or is being interpreted in a way that this council doesn't want it, it is our job to make a clarification, to make it clear so there is no question for the enforcement officer and then a judge also, because a judge will only interpret what the ordinance says, as will the enforcement officer. So, I mean, I think it is this body's role to clarify if there's a dispute as to what a shed is, what a trailer is, whatever, to make those very clear. And I just, from my own observation, I haven't reviewed any of the ordinances on this, but there are many, 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 I walk a lot, and there are many trailers all over the town. Many, many of them. Many of I don't know what you call it, trailers or tents that people, I mean, they're all over the place. So I just do think that whatever's done should be consistently done enforcement should be, it should be clear as to what is prohibited, clear so that members of the public will know whether something's legal or illegal, and our enforcement official will know it, and a judge will know it. And so I'm not sure what committee would look at that, but it may make sense to look at it.
Well, the current zoning officer feels that it is clear. That's his job, and that he feels that the ordinance is clear that trailers aren't permitted. Now, if the council decides to redo the ordinance, that's up to them, but he's not unclear about it. He is very clear.
Well, again, then it's selective enforcement. Because I've seen many trailers in town that aren't being enforced against.
He said all he needs is a complaint.
Maybe he could come to the next meeting and he could explain and clarify the definitions.
Well,
I would prefer that.
Well, we currently have an ordinance in place, right? And if you have an issue with this ordinance and you're cited, as you said you have been in the past, that is for your attorney or you as a litigant, right? If you represent yourself, a pro se defendant, to make your argument before a judge. Now, if a judge strikes it down as whether being vague, ambiguous, you know, overbroad, overreaching, well, that's a decision that the judge would make, right? A ruling.
It's very unlikely judges that did the due process violation. They're not going to find that. I'm just going to interrupt. It's our job to clearly define so the public knows, I think.
Well, no.
The judge doesn't define.
No, a judge makes a ruling based on an ordinance that is currently in place. And if the council would like to amend that ordinance or to amend it to include a definition that you're seeking here tonight, that's the council's decision to make.
So if I could clarify things a bit, I've had a request now probably for 4 or 5 months to the zoning officer, who I believe was an acting zoning officer, he was the assistant zoning officer, now he is our zoning officer, while we're searching for another full-time actual zoning officer. I got that right.
Well, he is an actual zoning officer.
Yes.
He's just our
correct.
De facto head zoning officer.
And so the key point of this is that one of the ways of solving the issue for me would be to get somebody in here who doesn't make up their own uses of English. If you have that letter that I gave to the council last time, you have a copy of that letter I submitted?
I don't have it on me here, but it's in there, yes.
Okay, well, I didn't bring it with me because I didn't think I need to. But it would be acted on and brought up tonight. But the basic point of the matter is that both Mr. McGrath, the former zoning officer, Mr. Marini, are inventing their own use of language. They're just pulling definitions out of their own idea of things, not relating to dictionary definitions or definitions currently in the zoning ordinances. We have a little list of definitions as part of our listing. In the letter that I submitted to the council last time, I requested that the council actually clarify two of those definitions, which would solve my problem, I think, and not just my problem from my individual use of trailers, but for the whole town.
What's your last name?
Craigan, K-R-A-G-A-N. And I've been working on this now for several years. And basically, I've been allowed to have the trailers for many years, for even, I'd say, 20 years. Nobody complained. Nobody had any problems. There's never been an official complaint.
Where are your trailers now?
They're parked at my lady friend's house up in Morris County. And one small one is in my driveway right now. As a furniture storage trailer. The smallest one. So
and how many of them do you have?
Which?
How many of them are you seeking to park there?
Three enclosed.
Three?
Three, which are called utility trailers. Right now, there is no definition of utility trailer in the borough ordinance. With the kind permission of the council, I would ask that you allow the admin committee to look at perhaps drafting, if that's the correct committee, I assume, to draft, or if the council office wants to do it, to draft a proposal to be put through to the town with the proper procedures and public notice, et cetera, et cetera. Not to say that my trailers are permitted per se, but to say that a zoning officer can't just manufacture definitions out of their own.
Well, I think that's unfair to say, Bob. I mean,
well, they're not. They haven't manufactured any language. The language has been drafted in an ordinance.
No, sir, that's not correct. They've manufactured misuse of language.
All right, Bob, can we get off of your opinion of the zoning officer and just stick to...
This is not a question of opinion of the zoning officer.
Well...
Mr. McGrath said my trailers are sheds. Shed is not a trailer. A trailer is not a shed. They're quite different. My trailers are licensed, registered, insured vehicles with axles and license plates in the state of New Jersey. They are not sheds. McGrath said they're sheds. If I leave them on the property, it's going to give me a violation of sheds. I moved them off the property. He then gave me a violation for my RV being in my driveway, which is where the actual zoning ordinance says you can park your RV, and that was what I was fighting for a year, six visits to the judge. When the new zoning officer, Mr. Marini, is saying that I should go to the judge as a solution to this, that's really not acceptable, because I don't want another six times going back and forth and basically wasting a lot of time and effort.
Well, the first time you were charged with the wrong ordinance, and that's why you kept going and going, and then it turned out that you had been charged incorrectly.
It wasn't a question of charged correctly. There was nothing I did that was wrong. It was
I believe you were charged incorrectly with the wrong ordinance.
Peggy, there was nothing that I did that was wrong.
Well, okay, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm not. I'm just saying that I know you were dismissed because you were charged with the wrong ordinance.
I think he was charged with an ordinance that the factual statement of the charge
didn't
violate the ordinance the complaint alleged that it charged. So, but aside from that, I just would like to reiterate again, rather than, I don't see this as an issue of one person.
Yes.
I see it as an issue of selective enforcement, which I'm not sure how to approach that issue because anybody that walks around town will see many.
Bob, Mr. Marini has made it very clear. If you bring him the addresses of where there are other trailers, he will go and inspect the property.
Perhaps you could ask him to inspect.
That's completely irrelevant to what I'm saying. Excuse
but
me.
You don't.
Let me go forward. To solve this issue, what we need to do is
one more minute.
Explain that Mr. Marini, like Mr. McGrath, is inventing language. When I explain to him that I want to put my trailers, my utility trailers in my driveway, because that's specifically what the ordinance allows, and I cited that in my letter that you have on your file here, and you can pull it up right now if you want, if you have the zoning ordinance in front of you there. It says trailers are allowed in the driveways.
I don't believe it says that.
It does say that specifically. I cited it to both to Marini and I cited it to...
I'll certainly look into the ordinance and your letter. When did you have it?
Last time.
Last
I was
meeting.
Here.
Okay.
I'm happy to correspond with you and clarify these things and clear it up. The point is that Marini is saying that the trailer, utility trailers, are not vehicles in his definition. And that's, quote, I have a witness. She took contemporaneous notes. She's a licensed public investigator.
Bob.
And she's a real person, I mean, saying that's incredible.
Sure.
The point is that Marini is inventing language like McGrath invented language, and that's just wrong. And ultimately, I won't stand for it.
I understand.
Okay. So either, and going to the judge is not a solution. Going to the planning board is certainly not a solution. Also, I should correct you, that Marini never, ever once told me to go to the planning board. He did tell me.
No, I believe that Greg Cannon told you to go to the planning board.
Greg Cannon did mention that was a possibility.
Right, Bob, can we?
I responded that I couldn't spend the $2,000 to $3,000 that cost. Again, iterating it becomes a major issue also for the whole community and for the council here. If you really want to make roads a lot better, for anybody to bring anything to the planning board costs a minimum of $2,000 to $3,000, making it prohibitively expensive. Anyone who's a small-time person and not trying to make a major zoning issue over a housing development. So
all right, Bob, I believe you stated your case. Do you have anything else that you want to?
Well, yes. I would like to present this to the council for a vote tonight to allow this to go to the admin committee, perhaps the admin committee to Borough Council and coordinate a legislative solution for everybody's trailers in town based on clarifying the definitions. That's
what thank you. So we'll look into the letter that you previously submitted as well as the ordinance. As you know, I'm not the...
Two letters. The first letter was...
I understand.
Okay.
Really asking for a clarification as to whether I could bring my trailers back on my land. And if not, why not? Just let me have a letter in response back to them about...
Okay, Bob, we really need to...
Yeah, okay.
Is there anything else?
I will have my partner, Greg Cannon, as well as myself, look into the ordinance, as well as the two letters that you sent.
And we'll be in touch with that.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's pretty much it. The other thing is that I need permission to have a yurt.
Have a what?
A yurt. Y-U-R-T.
Oh, a yurt.
Only in tent. It's basically a portable structure. It's not permanently attached to the ground. It sits on a platform.
That wouldn't be up to the council, Bob. That, again, you would have to talk to Mr. Marini.
The problem, again, with Mr. Marini is that he is under the influence of Mr. McGrath and invents language.
Okay, Bob, I understand, right, but go tomorrow and talk to him.
He says, our jury is going to say, you know, it's not
zoning. You have to complete an application. You have to complete a zoning application and then the zoning.
It's a tent.
How big is the tent?
It's a little bigger than a tent.
Is it made of skins or?
Okay, Bob, can you, can you?
I know what it is.
Kathleen has suggested that you complete a zoning application.
Yeah.
And bring that to the planning board, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well, to the zoning officer.
All right, to the zoning officer first, right?
That's the way that works.
Yeah.
But the key point there, though, is I would like the council to, at some point, address the issue of minimizing what it costs to make a zoning variance request.
You want us to lower the fee?
Yes. Right now it's $500 flat fee.
I'm not.
Plus $1,000.
I have to look at there.
What's the fee?
I have to look in the book.
$500 is the actual fee for the item to file. Then, in addition to that, you have to have an accurate plot plan. 0.01 inches, which is absurd.
All right, Bob, this is not
that's
a council.
That's $1,200. And then in addition, they want you to have a lawyer, which is another $1,000 to $1,200.
Well, no requirement to have a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm not sure your facts are accurate, Bob.
I was told point blank by the zoning board I should have a lawyer. They told me that. I have it writing somewhere, actually. So the point, though, is that it's not workable for the town to have the current arrangement. We have so many people breaking all the applicable ordinances about vehicles on the street, second driveways, multiple sheds, and there's places where cars are parked, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is a documented, with pictures, article on the former website that shows us. What the name of the architect who wrote that?
Bob, we've really spent quite a lot of time on this, quite a lot.
But someone has to clean this up. That's your job if you want it. This is a council thing. If you want to make Roosevelt better, make it better. Let's have a $50 zoning ordinance application. Then everybody can correct themselves. And let's have a system to start with that I need some...
Okay,
can I finish here? One last item.
Please.
It's very important that the current zoning officer... be told and instructed by the council that he's going to give a citation to anyone, that he will first give them a warning with a certain period, the 10 days or 30 day time period.
That's exactly what he does.
No.
Everyone gets a warning first.
Excuse me. When I was hit by my citation from the draft, there was no warning.
Okay, well, I can't speak for the past. I know now everyone gets a warning first.
And
no one gets an immediate citation.
That's good news to hear. I didn't know that. Wonderful. That's a positive change for Roosevelt.
Okay,
thank you very much,
thank
Bob.
Thank you, Bob. That's Bob.
Okay.
I'll
report back to you what happens with tomorrow and my application for the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to? Anyone have any comments they'd like to make?
Define Homestead Lane, 41 Homestead Lane. I just have a question. Will the contracts be available to the public for the new H2O and
They are both on the website, sir.
Both on the website, both the full contracts.
Yeah, if you look at the last line on the, like a string of the middle there, it says utility and stuff, so.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, okay.
And I should bring something up. And this has nothing to do with the council. At this point, it has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with
music.
It's. I think I'd like to bring up that I think that the council should be paid. I think there should be a stipend for the council. Publicly, I'd like to say I think the council should be paid by the town.
We can't afford to pay ourselves, sir.
I'm just bringing it up as a member of the public. I think you guys can get a stipend. Doesn't address this council per se. It's just in general. I think members of the council, people who serve on the council, should receive a stipend, at least for gas, to cover expenses. To, I don't know if you are or not at this point, but I really believe
we
that.
Can pass around the hat.
Yeah.
Open a guitar case in the middle of the room.
I always say it costs you money to serve in this town.
I'm not incorrect. You guys are the only, not you guys, but this township, this municipality, the only municipality that does not get paid. In the county?
The state, I think. Yeah, the state.
Really?
I don't know if that's correct or not. I don't know the facts on that exactly, but there's certainly a possibility. So I just wanted to bring that up as a, to put it on the record and. Make it from a public point of view, then.
Thank you,
thank
Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say? No, being none, we close the public portion at 8:03. So we don't need a closed session.
No. Make a motion to adjourn?
Well, I'll second that.
Before we adjourn, I'd like to address the comments of Mr. Cragen.
Well, I close
during
the public
portion.
I just closed the public portion.
No, well, that's for the public to speak. But that wasn't for us to respond to him. That was for the public. We're not supposed to comment about things during the public portion, that's my understanding. Again, whether or not having trailers, tents, various non-permanent structures that is a good or bad issue, a good thing to have or not good, I think that my own view is that enforcement. First of all, if we're not going to enforce a law, my view is get rid of it, because that promotes disrespect for law, in my view. And it's, and I think in many, many people's view, when their law's not enforced, people just think, oh, we can ignore all the laws. Now, if we're going to enforce them, in my view, they have to be enforced consistently. Not based on a resident saying, oh, I don't, my neighbor is doing this. A resident can say that, that's fine. But to me, the way to enforce is to enforce across the board. If something's going to be enforced, it should be enforced against all residents who are doing that same thing. And we're a small enough town that we can do that, and we can avoid the appearance of selective enforcement based on, you know, whatever. Somebody doesn't get along with a neighbor, and that person gets it enforced, and everybody else in town doesn't. So, and I'm not really sure how to address that issue of selective enforcement other than to have someone, I don't know, perhaps this is, we would need a written opinion on this from the attorney, but... At the very least, to have we have a code enforcement committee to be directing priorities to the court enforcement official in terms of we would like you to first tackle grass. I'm just making this up, but I did see many houses that have grass that's a foot tall.
I haven't had a chance.
And
I haven't had a chance to mow my lawn.
I didn't see your house. I'm just saying that. And someone asked me at the post office, well, you know, aren't you, or I was walking with the dog, aren't you going to, what are you going to, you know, to be enforced, my neighbor has grass that's this high.
And I don't think it's my job to go to the code enforcement official and say, go against that neighbor. To me, that's selective enforcement. That's also could be construed as political interference. But I think that we would, the committee or perhaps the council would prioritize what we want enforced, and then it's the enforcement official's job to go and look at. You could drive around town in 10 minutes and see. And that would be the approach I would have, because I personally don't think that it's fair to have, for example, the trailer issue, to have many trailers all over town. I don't know whether they're legal or illegal. I don't know. And that's not my... however, if there's a... if there's a question, the ordinance doesn't make it clear for a resident to know, then there's a problem with the ordinance. It should be very clear. They're illegal or they're legal. And if they're illegal, then... And this council wants to continue their being illegal, then the code enforcement officials should be enforcing it against everyone in town that has one, and that's my view. Now, I would suspect that it would be the code enforcement committee that would be looking at this. I'd be happy at the administration, but we do have a code enforcement committee. I would think that would be the committee. And I would move that we ask the committee to investigate these issues, and like I said, particularly the issue of selective enforcement and clarity of ordinances.
Cody.
Well, I wish you were here. Other people who are on that are here.
Okay. So you're making a motion?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody will second it, but...
Can you restate the motion?
To ask the code enforcement committee to explore the issue of clarity of ordinances regarding the clarity of ordinances that people can be fined for, and the issue of selective enforcement.
Is that going to be all the codes in the book, or just this particular one? I mean, there's a code book, you know. So will they have to look through the book and legally challenge each one?
I guess they would determine that, at least this issue.
There might be an issue regarding someone doing an it's almost like an internal investigation into a code enforcement officer who is, you know, has, you know, essentially law enforcement, you know, powers here. Someone that's able to issue violations as a code enforcement officer is sworn to uphold their oath and to enforce certain ordinances. I don't know if I'd have to actually look into that, whether they in fact have the ability, a committee has the ability to look into the powers or the enforcement by a code enforcement officer who has sworn to an oath.
Well, the selective enforcement, perhaps you could put that a legal written opinion on that, because I do think that selective enforcement is something the legislative body can look at, not one person going to the code enforcement official, go after that guy. That's something totally different, and not telling him how to do it, but to read the ordinances and say, can any, you know, there is a due process requirement that any ordinance give fair notice of what's in violation of it. That has nothing to do with the way he enforces it.
Could Mr. Cragen sit with the code enforcement committee and discuss that first, as opposed to us making a resolution or anything? So.
Well, the committee's not going to consider...
I mean, the code enforcement committee can certainly look into the ordinance itself and make a recommendation to the legislative body, which is
like
the council. And
exactly, and then they could bring it to the council.
Right, and look at the selective enforcement. Yeah. It would be drive around town and look. That's, you don't even have to talk to the enforcement official. Just look.
Mike, do you want to...
Yeah, I just want to say I think that it's appropriate for the committee to say these are particular areas of concern, you know, that these questions have been raised, and perhaps you should look, take a particular look at. I think you get into a problem, you know, if you start telling a code official, go after this one, don't go after this one, don't prosecute this case.
Right.
You start doing that, you're fixing traffic tickets, you're doing stuff that's clearly illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very cautious with this. I think the question of selective enforcement, that's going to be in the mind of the...
It's an obstruction of justice.
It's the victim,
You know, like, I remember when I think it was the Bureau of Housing Inspection, they started the hotel multiple dwelling inspections. There was one guy that came to select him, of course, he was the first one who got a citation. They're going after everybody in the state, but they have to start with somebody. Mm-hmm. So he happened to be the first one, so of course he claimed he was being selectively enforced.
Right.
I mean, the question is if they are, you know, if there's a program that there's limited resources, what is the time these people have? How much time they have to have some way of selecting who are the most egregious violators and prioritizing that way. That's a decision they have to make as a enforcing agency, like a policeman does.
Well, I remember speaking with a former borough administrator who said back in the day we had one that there was a prioritization made because of the time constraints. We only have a very limited time for that official to do his duties or her duties, and to prioritize, and then to affirmatively go after those priorities,
exactly.
As opposed to it's a force against one person and the other 99% is never enforced against.
The database determination that person is the most egregious violator.
That is generally actually how Mr. Marini does prioritize.
Right.
Now, I think that's Bob. Public portion's closed.
Mr. Craig disagrees that he is, but that's what they're saying.
He had everybody had one pass. That was Michael's pass. Everyone had
public
one
portion
turn.
Was
closed
turn. When you
yeah.
referred to him. I just think
I
again consistency
borough,
and fairness.
I referred to him because
everyone should be treated equally, in my view.
Well, just as a point of order, the meeting there was a first and a second to close the meeting
right.
to return the meeting.
Right,
before I had a chance to say anything.
Well,
that's
but,
why
but,
I didn't jump
but that
in
was
fast
a,
enough.
There's
right.
a point of order to be made
yeah.
there. This is a body that follows Robert's rules and. Yeah, I mean.
So I allowed you to speak, even though we had a first
and
a second.
Mr. Cragen had 25 minutes
right.
of floor time, so I don't feel that there was any unfairness in
right.
having Michael give a couple minutes.
Less.
Seems to me to be.
I didn't say that
more
was
than
unfair.
Balanced.
I just said that when you do it with one, you can't just.
Well, I said everyone has
actually,
one turn,
actually,
and Mr. Cragen had his turn.
And there's a motion on the floor?
Yes, there is. So. We had a motion and a second to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not.
No roll call.
Yeah, no roll call.
No, I was going to say, all in favor?
Yeah, all in favor.
Aye.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.